This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My teammate used to say, walk into your trap, take over your trap, was the line he would say. And so that's kind of what it is. You go into someone else's stadium and you try to assert yourself. That's what everybody's trying to do when they go on the road. It's hard to do, but that's certainly the goal.
Kirk is fully adjusted, isn't he? I mean, he has fully embraced the ATL, has he not?
He's the transformation. The memes are out there like Napoleon Dynamite's brother.
It's real.
Me and LaFond are going to get some prime rib.
Yeah.
Later, dude.
It's real.
So, and I heard Bo Johnson. Chris, we will try to do the same thing, but we'll sample it over, take over your trap from 2 Chainz with Schooley. And you'll hear him. We'll try to sync it up with Kirk. I heard it on the way in here to work today on Andy Randy. I was laughing out loud.
I love, and again, I don't think we knew how much time he spent down here.
Right.
I'm just talking about the average fan. Again, you know, we always talk about this. It always amazes me when guys are like, you know, this state doesn't have state income tax, and he wants this, and they want to pay him that. And I'd always say to you guys, these guys live wherever they want.
Right.
And Kirk Cousins in the offseason has been down here like 9 years because of his wife, and nobody knew. And so he's very familiar
right.
with the climate, the culture, what happens, the vibe of the city. Mike, I think it's helped him and us adjust to him very easily. And because it's authentic, it's not corny. It's funny and it's cool.
And everybody gets a big kick out of it. This thing is literally gone viral now with walk into your trap, take over your trap. So, I mean, we said it earlier and we get asked a lot about it. There's just so many likable dudes on this team. I mean, it's a kind of team, if this team can make a run, I just think the city that's not electrified will be totally electrified over these guys. And hopefully this week, I'd like, after talking to our dude, Michael Sean Dugar from Seattle, I really think that...
Mike, it is Dugar.
Now, real quick, full disclosure.
I have to, Mike, hold on. My name is pronounced Dugar.
So, Carl and I were joking. We'll take you behind the curtain on this one.
No, you were killing me.
I'm writing all these jokes while Carl is trying to do the interview about, now again, he's an accredited journalist.
Yes, he is.
But it's just, when we've done, you guys have heard, you know, literally hundreds of interviews we've done as we're live here in Gwinnett. For Paint Gwinnett Pink is folks picking up their package for the big
Dugar.
5K coming up at Cooley Field on Saturday. But when we introduce, and Carl goes, Michael Sean Dugar joined, he goes, it's Dugar. We've interviewed guys where maybe we slightly butchered their name. That was barely butchered. You didn't. You accentuated the second syllable. And the guy, you stopped the interview, called me. Well, actually, if I could just pause, it's Dugar. First off, nobody gives a flying rat's
nobody
ass.
Cares.
We're here in Atlanta.
Nobody cares.
We're just trying to do it properly.
And never heard of him. I mean, seriously. Like, so then, come on, bro.
As the interview continues, I start then writing jokes and I make Carl laugh during the interview. But anyway.
And here's the deal. While I'm trying to concentrate and talk to Mr. Dugar, Mike is literally putting a piece of paper in my face with things like, who is this guy? And I'm like, come on, stop.
Soft.
It.
Michael Sean, something else. I inserted something else. But anyway, we did speak to the aforementioned hyphenated Seattle journalist from The Athletic.
Yes, we did.
Who did say that, you know, yeah, they've lost 3 games in a row for a reason. You know, they're doing dumb stuff on offense, and they're not stopping the run. You know, they do have a lot of athletes. They certainly have as many guys on their roster as we do.
D, it is Big D. So, all right, I'm done.
Are you Dr. I'm Dr. Galiwichis. You're Dr. Galakowicz. Yes, I am.
Yes, you are.
But it's one of those things where most guys, if we're slightly off with the name, they'll roll with it and then tell the producer later, hey, next time.
You mean professionals? I'm sorry.
Now, again, there was no phonetic spelling of the man's name anymore. I see D-U-G-A-R-2-G-A-R.
This is what happens when you come on this show. This is not Kitty Hour, all right? This is one of the biggest shows in the country right here.
When he corrected you on his name, and you're like, I saw your eyes, and your eyes got wide as saucers, and I'm like, you were like,
well, you know, I wanted
you
to
were
drop
so a, ready to drop in the interview.
I was ready to do that, and I was ready to drop an MF. Right? Are you serious right now?
Because in the past, we're like, and that was Michael Sean Dugar after one question.
Cut. Yeah, you're done.
Walk away, drop the mic. Chris, back in the ranch. I know you were laughing.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I'll remember that when I'm looking you up.
Yeah, I'll remember when you win the poll.
All right, I'm done.
Anyway,
sorry, I'm done.
You take it. By the way, no, Mike, it was Dugar. The guy, Anthony Worthy, goes, what have you guys caught that? Caught that?
Oh, I mean, come on.
I'm crying laughing. I'm doing like the cut signal to Carl like 2 seconds in.
Dude, we hear everything, all right? Every single. Yes. Yeah, I heard. How do you spell that, Buster?
Actually, it's pronounced Hong-oop. I'm going to hung up on you. Anyway, but anyway, that was if you missed it, that was your rewind on
and
the
by
Odyssey.
By the way, he was very knowledgeable
good information
about Seattle,
yes.
Right? And we're just trying
and
to
you,
get some
And you mispronounced and totally disrespected this fine journalist named Carl.
Yeah, I heard. call me
Walk
when
into
he
your trap,
on,
take over right? the trap.
There it is. That's Kirk Cousins. We're talking about our quarterback.
Oh,
all right,
man.
Let's hear a couple of things from the Falcons, guys. Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9
Walk into your trap, take over your trap.
That's what we're doing. Tomorrow, we are at Twin Peaks, by the way, Kennesaw. You can come out and hang out with us. Maybe I'll mispronounce your name. Okay, I'm done. I promise. All right. And then Monday, thanks to our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings, and we're looking forward to this, man. I mean, come on out. We've got giveaways. As I said, we're going to have a Kyle Pitts jersey. I am hearing that somebody might have a signed football.
Okay.
On top of all of this, Buffalo Wild Wings is taking care of you with the food and drink.
Right.
Happy hour 3 to 6. We will be out there. Mike and I are off at 6 on Monday, and we're just giving you a heads up. So if you're like, oh, I want to come through, we got a doubleheader with the Monday night game, but we're done at 6, so we're just going to hang out and, you know, hang out at the bar and hang out, man. So we'd love to see you guys.
And I believe I'm also going to give away the rest of my Florida State season tickets for this year, too. So if you're
free,
yes, if you're a Gator fan, maybe you want to go see the Gators take on the Noles. I got those for you. I got them for you.
All right. So come meet your favorite 92.9 the game. Personalities is going to be huge. And one other thing. Oh, the pick six. Two entrees, two sides, and two drinks for only $19.99 at Buffalo Wild Wings on Monday.
We'll have to ask Bunker if he knows Dugar tomorrow for Andy's time up in Seattle.
Yeah, he probably does.
Yeah.
Yeah, he probably called Bunker the wrong name.
Dugar.
Let me hear Bijan Robinson, because, Mike, we were talking about – he liked to talk about the creativity of Zach Robinson in this offense. And as we get back to Falcons in Seattle, guys, Bijan was talking about the importance of the run game. They both, Bijan and Tyler Algier, were huge last week.
Yeah, just continue to just keep that, you know, mindset of like, you know, physicality. You know, we got to be more physical than everything that we play, and we got to start that obviously in practice. But you know, for us, like with the O-line that we have, and you know, just how much they take pride in, you know, being dominant and being more dominant than the defensive line that's on the other side. But then even just the front seven that's on the other side, like, you know, we really take pride in that.
Who's Walk into it? Your trap, take over your trap.
Let's do it, Kirk. Who's calling the game tonight? Is it Michael? No, I'm talking about the Thursday night game.
Oh, Al Michaels and Herb Street.
Oh, okay.
For TNF.
Yeah. I was just thinking about. And by the way, Michaels is okay, right? I mean, I know he was catching some criticism at the beginning of the
last name.
Nothing against Kirk Herbstreit. You know, it's just we were suffering from Herbstreit overexposure.
Yeah.
And I just think if you put Ryan Fitzpatrick in with Al Michaels and Richard Sherman, I think that would have been an energized, fun broadcast. And then Sherman would be saying some crazy stuff and Fitz would too. And that would engage Al. It would be so much more interesting. I just think because basically Herbstreit's just giving you by the numbers, really nothing that you couldn't already see from any analyst in the NFL. And I think a guy doing college, that's his niche. Look, it's football. Still, they haven't reinvented the game. They're not playing with pineapple. example. But I'm just thinking Al Michaels' times when some of these games suck has really tuned out. And that's what really got the ball rolling, because I think some millennials, some of his wisecracks and his number, the way he'll play like the over-under,
yeah,
it kind of goes over their head so they don't vibe it.
I was wondering, because we were listening to BJ. I know we got the Thursday night game tonight. Matter of fact, we got Hawks basketball here. And we have Thursday Night Football on WAOK. Hey, man, let me hear Michael Penix. I teased this earlier. We don't get a chance to hear from Penix, and nor should we. To be honest with you, it's Kirk Cousins' squad right now. Penix is going to get his time. We do like what we've seen from him. Again, that was way back in camp. We've been blessed, Mike, knock wood, that we haven't had to see him or any of that. But he says, I am learning from Cousins. This is what they were hoping. Listen to this.
The biggest thing, you know, just seeing how he comes out each and every day, and then, you know, the way he controls the offense, and, you know, the way he, you know, calling the plays to the cadences, you know, adding up to different motions and stuff that we have, you know, to help him play faster. You know, just picking up on some of those things, obviously, in the meeting room, you know, just having different things that, you know, he asks, you know, just the questions that he has, as far as, like, the play calls we got in that week, and just picking up on his side and what he sees on the field. Because whenever, you know, my chance comes, I got to be ready.
Yeah, man. Look, he's a young man who's learning in the NFL, and who better than a guy we just talked about how great he is in that locker room with everybody, not to mention.
He's taking people's traps.
Right. It's Kirk Cousins. Who's,
walk again, into your trap, take over your trap.
So, yeah, man, I'm loving what I'm hearing from Penix. And because, as you guys well know, Seattle hires Ryan Grubb, who was, you know, the University of Washington offensive coordinator with Kalen DeBoer. He was in Tuscaloosa for a cup of coffee. And then the Seahawks say, hey, I'd like to be OC. So Michael Penix knows this offense. And
yeah,
I mean, there's only so much that they can throw in that's not going to be the base offense that Penix played in for 2 years, right?
Yeah.
So I just feel there's a nice advantage. Sometimes we joke around, like when a team goes and acquires somebody like the week, you know, before they play that team. It's one thing if you get a defensive back. It's another thing if you get a quarterback who played in that system. So he was running scout team this week for the Falcons, and hopefully that gives us some insight to maybe negate what they're trying to do.
Yeah, by the way, just a quick note about Mike McDonald, the head coach of the Seahawks. Guys, he's got Georgia roots, for those who don't know. He's coming back home.
Right.
Cedar Shoals High School, all right, was where he got his start. University of Georgia, while he was attending the University of Georgia, Mike, as a graduate assistant. He's a guy that's very familiar with our state and certainly the surrounding areas. I just, you know, don't mean that as a homecoming for him to win the game, but he's familiar with Atlanta, right, and certainly the surroundings. So that's something I think a lot of people don't know, because he got to the pros, and then everybody kind of knows him from the Ravens defense that led the league in every category last year, which got him the Seattle job.
And you're trying to avoid an ignominious start. Nobody wants to have a four-game losing streak, I should say, to start your season. Tonight, by the way, TNF, Broncos are a 2.5-point favorite. The under is all the way down now with those injuries to the Saints receivers to 37. So, yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah. I'm looking right now. The over-under is 37. That's really low. Now,
what's that, 4 field goals?
I mean, I'm doing the math. Yeah, 21-16. Put you right at the number.
Well, Al Michaels will be tuned out tonight.
And this game is officially over. Now, I mean, it's hard. I mean, the Saints were able to score some points in the first half, but then they lost some of those players. We talked about how Tampa Bay just came just blitzkrieged him in the second half. But Denver under Bo Nix is a slow starter, as Benjamin Albright told us. So hopefully, if you're a Falcon fan, you pull for the Broncos tonight. Hopefully you watch Spencer Rattler get rattled.
All right, we're coming back. Some NFL stuff we've got to get to. The latest, Davante Adams, by the way, speaking to the media, saying he expects to be a Jet.
How does he know this playbook so quickly?
Well, you brought up something interesting. We'll share with you coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Last name pronounced Dugar.
This hour brought to you by Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives. Now let you hear from Davante Adams. He spoke to the media when asked about whether he's going to be a Jet moving forward. It's one of the big trades, guys, and this gets us into what the Falcons, hopefully, I say this because I feel like we're a contender, will be in the mix for maybe one of these pass rushers that may be available. And Mike, before we get into that, let's talk about this Davante Adams thing, because you were saying, you know, we caught hell with Kirk Cousins and the whole tampering thing. And listen, Arthur Blank was like, whatever, I'll cut the check. And we kept it moving.
Right.
But you look at this whole situation with the Jets, specifically Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams. He is going to play Sunday night against the Steelers, by the way. And you said to me, well, how did he get the playbook so fast?
Well, that's just it. I mean, if he's playing Bert and Ernie with his buddy Aaron for a sleepover, you know, it just seems that if you're going to go down that road, and it just seemed like everybody in the world knew that we were going to sign Kirk Cousins, and we were the exclusive market for Kirk Cousins, and the general manager of the Vikings told Kirk Cousins he's not coming back. The idea that, you know, literally just 12 hours before he's here, he's talking to the training staff about things he needs to be prepared for to keep himself ready for the season, right? Seems a bit silly. Doesn't seem like it's worth a fifth-round draft pick and $250,000. So how the hell does Devontae Adams now have, like, this great knowledge of this playbook? This is what I'd like to – I mean, I'm not trying to – again, I'm not trying to be, like, Mr. Conspiracy Theorist, but let's call it what it is. Aaron Rodgers is probably in communication. He's certainly familiar with what the Jets are trying to do. And to me, that's something that would merit a little bit of the NFL taking a peek at if you're going to break our balls for some pecune stuff like what Kirk Cousins was allegedly talking about.
Well, Aaron gets away with whatever he wants.
It's just, I mean, like I said, if there's similarities in what he was doing in Vegas or what Aaron Rodgers took from Green Bay that Devontae does remember. But to me, come on, doesn't take a genius to figure this one out, okay? These two guys got together, and there's some information being exchanged.
They did, and they made this deal happen. Now, speaking of pass rushers, all right, Max Crosby was asked about these trade rumors and all of this. Now, I'm going to read this direct quote from him because we believe, as of right now, there's no way the Raiders are going to come off of Max Crosby. But we've already seen big deals again, Devontae Adams being one, you know, Amari Cooper. You're going to see more of this over the next couple of weeks leading up to the trade deadline. Mike, today he said, I'm not here to rebuild. Crosby said, I'm here to win, whatever that means. But I am here to win now. Wherever I'm going to be here to win. Okay, that doesn't sound like a guy who is all in and being a Raider forever, does it?
Well, it seems like a guy who's sick of losing. Seems like a guy who's pretty good at what he does and has, you know, been to the playoffs once and would like to, you know, try to make a run.
You know what I give up for Max Crosby?
Oh, a first-round pick, a second-round pick.
In a heartbeat.
Yep.
He's a go guy. He works his tail off in the offseason. I'm just telling you guys, like, that's a game-changing guy. The problem is the Raiders have deficiencies in so many places. He can't overcome all of that. And so if you put him on this – that's a guy you put on this team, what's this defense look like? Guys, Super Bowl. I'm serious. Like, that changes things.
Right.
You put a Myles Garrett, Mike, on this team. But I would take Crosby because, to me, he's such an effort guy. But that quote coming down literally an hour or so ago about could he be the next one out in Vegas, and he just said, look, I'm not here to rebuild. Okay.
Yeah, funny line about when he had a new defensive coordinator coming in, Patrick Graham saying, 3-4 or 4-3, don't worry, we'll figure something out for you. And that's why, you know, I think sometimes guys sometimes get too hung up on it. And I get it. We do run a 3-4 and a 3-5-5 and a 3-5-2. It's always got to add up to 11.
6-2, 6-2.
Yeah, well, the 6-2, the Buddy Ryan defense. But I mean, whatever you're running.
Remember the Titans?
Yeah, but whatever you're running, this guy's a stud. Remember, the key, whenever you talk about defense on Twitter, it does have to add up to 11. But no, it's just don't get caught up on that. I think just that was part of the logic of why TJ Watt was in a Falcon. You know, I mean, which still drives me crazy. And I think
give me the best players.
The athletes, the edge rushers. Yes, there's something about, you know, hand to the ground coming up. But you get after the quarterback. You know, whether you're an OLB or a DE, you know, wherever you're being used, you get the job done. So, to me, I think if you could get a piece of Hassan Reddick, but the question that you brought up with John McClain yesterday, noted NFL writer, is what's up with Reddick's rep? And you've heard some things up in New York that maybe this guy, it's just you don't want to mess with
it. Well, Mike, I don't want to be a party pooper, but inside of these front offices, what's happening is guys are saying, look, is he a hell of a player? Turn on the tape. Yes. But does he want to play football? If I ask that question to you, you know what? We got problems. Like, if you're in their prime and I'm asking the question about, well, what's his commitment? That should never come up. And that is being talked about around the league with Hassan Reddick, with the way this is handled with the Jets. You said he's disgruntled. I agree. He doesn't want to be there. Mm-hmm. His new agent says, okay, look, we can still resolve this here. But if you're going to trade for him, I got to know there's a commitment. Here's the deal with Matthew Judon. There was no hesitation.
Right.
Because they knew he was committed to coming in and playing. And then on top of that, dude got here and went, I don't need a new deal. I'm good.
And you guys don't owe me nothing because, you know, I'm going to go, I got to go prove you don't know what my game is.
Yep.
I wasn't here. But in the case of Reddick, to your point with Drew Rosenhaus, he goes and says, your rep might not be the most sterling around the league and maybe we try to cut a deal with the Jets. And look, how awkward was that conversation? You bring Drew Rosenhaus and he says, okay, man, you really misplayed your hand on this one.
He did.
You did. You pulled a Le'Veon Bell who lost about $20 million at the end of the day for sitting out. But he thought the Steelers were going to break. Nobody, When have you seen an ownership break? I said to Carl Earl, the only time I can remember a team like basically blinking was Jerry Jones with Emmitt Smith back in 1992.
Yeah, and that was, again, a Super Bowl-ready team without one of its Super Bowl-caliber
players.
That started
0-2 and couldn't run the football.
Yeah, and Jerry, it was a no-brainer. Jerry, you got to pay this guy. And they did. Right. They cut a big check for Emmitt, and they went on and did great things. Let's hear from Raheem Morris, because Mike asked him about the pass rush yesterday up at Flowery Branch. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are in Gwinnett. Today, tomorrow, we're at Twin Peaks inviting you guys to come out Monday. Buffalo Wild Wings at the perimeter location, guys. Come on out. It's right there. Great location. Raheem Morris was asked on our show about Arnold Ebiketie. First of all, before I let you hear this answer, about where he is as a pass rusher, you feel like he's underachieved, right?
Yeah. Okay. I just think that, you know, as a second-round pick, and we've had a lot of second-rounders that just they don't pass the eye test. But, you know, you and I thought, okay, he's coming out of his shell. Last year, 6 sacks. Now you think with Judon, and this gets back to it, and Andy Randy talked about it. You'll hear the Jimmy Lake, some of the Jimmy Lake stuff coming up. But they were asking him about, you know, Ebiketie. They like Ebiketie. Should have had a sack. But still, it's does it pop for you? Is he popping? You know, they're double-teaming, and Judon's got a lot of double-teams, too, which means something should open up for somebody else.
All right, so Raheem was asked, we asked Coach Ra this question about Arnold Ebiketie. This was his response about how good he thinks the staff believes he's playing right now as a pass rusher.
AK has actually been one of our better pass rushers this year, and what he's been able to do, and he's been kind of playing sparingly, and he's got more and more play time as we go. To now, he's one of the lead dog guys to go out there with Matthew Judon and try to get after the quarterback, especially as for our situation. So we got to get more opportunities for him to do that.
One of our better pass rushers. Problem is, and again, sacks don't matter. Well, they do.
Sacks don't matter.
Yes, they do, Mike
they
Smith.
They don't.
Yes, they do. The problem is we don't see that in the results.
No.
So if you're telling but not sacks, which Coach admitted, especially about last week. I mean, there were times we should have had Andy Dalton dead to rights at least 3 times.
Right.
But we're not seeing it as fans. We aren't seeing Arnold Ebiketie show up and you go, man, all right, who's the sack leader? That's the issue with saying that. I'm not saying Raheem is wrong because they're looking at this completely different than we are, and they're looking at the results and seeing what he's doing week in and week out. But that's the issue. I need tangible results.
Right, and can you fix it? Because we're 5 weeks in, and you're the worst team in the NFL in getting the quarterback on the ground. And we saw some episodes in the Carolina where it was almost comical where, you know, Andy Dalton, I mean, Lorenzo Carter slips over him like a banana peel. And we said this yesterday for guys who missed it. I mean, it's not like we're sitting here trying to manufacture an issue. You just touched on it. It doesn't pass the eye test. They don't get the quarterback on the ground. And you see the teams that go to the Super Bowl, the Chiefs and the 49ers, and the Chiefs and the teams that go to the conference championships, whether it's Detroit, now looking for a replacement for Hutchinson, everybody else, the Ravens, they all got defenses that get on the quarterback's butt, and we just don't do that yet.
Yeah, yeah. And the Eagles, when they went to the Super Bowl, remember, they led the league in sacks as well. So,
You can have an opportunistic defense like the Saints did, like we were going to have in 16, but you still – to have this, it's something that's just a missing component.
My question is when does this come – and by the way, it's not going to be, you know – it may be a big moment, but at what point does this come back to haunt us? Meaning we're winning games despite this.
Right.
But at some point, we're going to be in a game. Maybe it's a playoff game. Maybe we keep rolling.
Maybe it's a game to decide a seed in the NFC playoffs.
And
or the division standpoint.
And this comes back to bite us. That's what. But I know they're working hard up there. We're up there every week. We know the guys are getting after it. But this is why sometimes, Mike, you just need a guy.
Yeah. And by the way, guys that were not drafted, it's not an indictment on what the Falcons did because nobody's really going crazy. They love Jared Verse with the Rams.
Agreed.
And Leetu Latu, as D-Led would say, has got 1 sack and 2 forced fumbles. Dallas Turner.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Has not really showed up on the stat sheet. I believe he's got one sack. Potential draft picks.
Correct. Coach W says, fellas, give up whatever it takes to get Crosby. If in fact he's on the market, and I'm not saying he is, but right. Today when you answer a question like that, like here's the deal. You guys know this. When guys get asked these questions, here's where I want to be.
Right.
This dude's like, I'm not here for a rebuild.
No, he wants to win. I mean, it's basically Max Crosby saying, passively aggressively, get me out of here.
All right, we got more to get to. We got Hawks basketball coming up tonight. Again.
Hawks fever. Catch it.
You want to hear the Thursday night game? You can on WAOK, our sister station. We got some other things to dive into. More on Texas and Georgia next.
It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as the sun sets over Gwinnett. Dukes and Bellman getting ready for Paint Gwinnett Pink, our ninth year involved with the fight against breast cancer and this huge walk and run at Cool Ray Field on Saturday. And I'll be co-hosting with my buddy Jay, who's the COO for Northside up here. So we're going to have a lot of fun. But folks have been swinging by, picking up their packets. We're off of Sugarloaf and just about to wrap the show up at the Gwinnett Medical Center Foundation. But, yeah, so great to run into some great folks and some folks that are really committed to the fight, Carl. And I've said it before, it's really Goosebumps City when you have the survivors and the folks that are battling to get in their pins for coming back and doing the event and then, you know, battling cancer then being able to compete in a five with Jen Griffin, who runs it here. You know, I don't think there's anybody in our audience who hasn't been touched by cancer one way or another. So, folks, even if it's too late to get registered, you can come by and support the folks on Saturday at Cool Ray.
Yeah, man. And, you know, again, I think for all the money that they've raised, and Jen was talking about, you know, where they're at now and how they're giving back, it's just a cool way to get involved in the community, which is something we love to do here
right.
on the show. This hour brought to you by Firehouse Subs, guys. Mike, tomorrow, by the way, Twin Peaks, reminder, we're going to be out there.
Kennesaw
location. We invite you guys to come out and join us. We'll get to our picks tomorrow as well. And bottom line, you know, with the Falcons, and some guys are hitting us up, again, I hope you heard us. We were reading a quote from Max Crosby today answering a question about whether he was going to be next. It doesn't mean he will be, right. But I don't think he's completely sold with staying there, Mike, and as you said, continuing to lose.
Right.
So we'll monitor that, all right? But if that guy becomes available, I'm here to tell Falcon fans, everybody in the league is going to be interested.
Yeah, starting with the Detroit Lions. I mean, they'd be the first team that's going to make that jump. I mean, we've seen some articles in Sporting News
where
the Lions want to jump in on that. And why wouldn't they? They've got to replace one of the best edge rushers in Aiden Hutchinson. Other teams out there, you know, again, whether it's pie in the sky, as we said, I think we squashed the 3-4-4-3. A talent like that, you figure it out. You know, but, you know, there are guys asking about Hassan Reddick. I think the character thing and just where his head's at. You know, maybe that makes him for some teams. Still, if you feel you got a team that is special offensively, like we think we've got, because we're getting better and better each week, maybe you roll the dice. You know, I mean, maybe you get a guy who comes here like Dwight Freeney, or you wind up with Ray Edwards.
Okay, so let me ask you: are we all in?
I think we've already shown we're all in by going to get Judon and Simmons.
I agree. And the Cousins move was an all-in move. I mean, it wasn't just to get better.
Right.
That's the way I feel. I don't think that we're in, you know, halfway mode. We got a toe in the water. We're in this thing.
Simmons more active today, by the way, at Falcons practice because he was held out yesterday, but it seems like he's getting back in the groove.
All right, real quick, we were talking about the Dogs, guys. We will give you our official predictions tomorrow. We're going to give you our picks, as I said, and we will also talk in depth about why and how Georgia, not why, but how Georgia can win this game. I think for Dog fans listening, you know, it's like, well, of course we can win. But there is a particular way I think you've got to approach this. And it's not just letting Carson Beck drop back 58 times, Mike, and try to win this game. I still get back to what Mike's been saying, and I think a lot of people are ignoring this. You have a special talent in the backfield. We have yet to see to Austin and attempt to do something that a lot of teams have not been able to do, and that's run the football. But this isn't the Georgia offensive line of 2 years ago. So I will tell you guys, because there are some weaknesses on this Texas defense, Mike, despite the fact that they're the number one in a bunch of different categories. Right. We'll dive into that tomorrow. Also, B-Mac, Steve Coonan. We've got our quarterback report, which we'll hear from our quarterback, Kirk Cousins, who's taking people's traps.
I know that the wide receivers and the passing game, even with the injuries and the suspensions, however you want to call the attrition at the wide receiver position, it is certainly an advantage for Georgia because Michigan was one-dimensional. I mean, I think everybody kind of expected Texas to win. The Texas goes in there and just destroys Michigan.
They did, and
their passing game was completely one-dimensional. Oklahoma, you saw that. Their quarterback wasn't ready
Freshman.
For prime time.
Yeah.
But this is a guy who's certainly in Carson Beck who's ready. But here's the question. I've heard Randy Mack talk about it. We've talked about it. Bell, Smith, and Lovett, step up to the friggin' plate.
It's your time.
Let's go.
It's your
time.
You
know, and maybe to a lesser extent, you know, there are other dudes that can certainly get involved. But it's very frustrating for Dog fans. London Humphreys is kind of like that. Could be maybe the secret sauce if he's healthy. But you've got a team which certainly can score. I just felt, man, are we really going to do a complete carbon copy of the Alabama game plan? Maybe that's what you got to do against Texas's defense.
If that's the case, here's the deal.
I just want to run the ball. I just want a little more balance in those first couple of possessions.
But if that's the case, you're coming out shotgun and you're letting Carson throw it around from the jump.
Right.
Don't try to get into, we'll see how the game goes. Like, what happened in the second half of the Alabama game? Imagine now, I know they were down 28 or 30, but imagine the urgency that Georgia, if they were to go in Austin and start that way, Mike, on Saturday.
Right.
If that's what you want to do and you want to get this thing established immediately, I say go for it. But sometimes I feel like Bobo, and maybe this is a function of personnel.
Right.
I'm not sure. But they're easing into it. It's what Barbara Dooley was talking about. Where's the urgency?
Yeah.
Let's come out and get this established right now. Hey, Texas, we're going to come out and throw the ball on you, and you guys got to figure it out. Like that has to be the feel if you're going
right.
to go in and do that.
I don't think you ever have to convince or twist the arm to get Bobo to throw it. That's always been the argument for Georgia fans for time immemorial. But this is maybe one of those games where you, as much as you just touched on it, and we love what Trevor Etienne is supposed to be,
but this is
where you come out and you do try to challenge your secondary that hasn't seen a guy like Carson Beck.
But, Mike, we saw Beck get into a rhythm against Alabama and never got out of it in the second half.
No, and you were leading the game until your defense then couldn't cover the number one guy that you knew they were going to throw to.
By the way,
how does Texas's wide receivers match up against Georgia's secondary?
Remember, Isaiah Bond, for those who don't remember, was at Alabama. But he was at Alabama. I think, you know, when healthy, the receiving core is really good. And that's been another issue, Mike. You know, when Arch stepped in there in those games that he played, you know, Texas threw the ball around. But I also think there was a little bit of, hey, we don't need to showcase all of this.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about sandbagging. I don't think they've shown, because Sark, he's been saving a little bit of this too, knowing this game was coming up, right? So I think going into the season, Texas said, look, if we're going to be in the SEC championship game, we got to find a way to beat Georgia. And I think they've held back a little bit. You will see the full passing game on Saturday night.
And is Mykel Williams going to be a difference maker for Georgia? You know, that's another one.
He hasn't had a great game in the big game yet.
Yet. No, because it has been 100%.
Correct.
You know, and you're waiting. And Kirby's talked about his leaders being cheerleaders. I know we covered that. Hey, real quick update. In the playoffs, Yankees got an early start today. It's a doubleheader with the Dodgers and Mets are the nightcap. But the Guardians are leading 2-1, top of the sixth
now. Oh, they came back.
Root for the underdog. Let's go, Guardians.
Yeah, when I first saw that, I saw the Yankees.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.